Hopefully you have him in the back room doing the books.
Good afternoon, welcome to House Committee on Transportation and Economic Development, perhaps our penultimate set of bills. We're going to work quickly through them all and proceed in order, so start with a public hearing on Senate Bill 613. This is, as you remember, the bill we thought we might get to last time but didn't have all the paperwork, so Mr. Fuller, you're coming forward, you could give us a summary, Troy?
Sure, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 613 requires vehicle dealer applying for renewal of vehicle dealer certificate complete minimum of 4 hours of approved continuing education.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Darrell Fuller on behalf of the Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association. I could have swore we had a public hearing on this, so I wasn't prepared to testify today. So I didn't spend a half hour in front of the mirror last night preparing for today. So
I don't intend to spend a half hour
joining.
So that's fine.
But I'll muddle my way through. You do have testimony that I submitted from the last time on OLIS. If you get a chance to read it, it's compelling and riveting.
It's gripping?
Gripping or riveting?
Riveting.
Riveting.
Ooh,
thank
riveting.
You.
Riveting.
Riveting.
On the car.
I do a little better with my enunciation. So about a decade ago, there was a national movement among independent car dealers to try to sort of polish their image a little bit compared to the franchise new car dealers. So they embarked nationally on an effort to start having continuing education requirements in order to get a dealer's license on a state-by-state basis. Oregon was a state that successfully passed a law that required new dealers to take an 8-hour class before they could get their dealer's license, and then to get 5 hours per year of continuing education on a 3-year license. So after 3 years, they'd have to have 15 hours of continuing education. As any new program sort of settles, you learn sort of where the soft spots are. And the way the statute is written, you're required to have 15 hours of continuing education. But what we learned is that a dealer could take the same 1-hour class 15 times, and he had 15 hours of continuing education. So this bill fixes that. So it's sort of housekeeping stuff like that for the most part this bill does. We did adjust the continuing education hours down from 5 to 4. This is as a result with meeting with a lot of dealers. There are people that have dealer's licenses that don't do dealer work as their primary occupation. There are tow truck drivers that also have a dealer's license. There are body shops that also have a dealer's license. And some of those people thought that the amount of continuing education they were getting was not as valuable for them in terms of what they were doing. And so there's a statutory committee called the Oregon Dealer Advisory Committee. It meets on a quarterly basis. It includes DMV and Department of Justice and dealers of all types and members of the public. And we sort of vetted through these issues, and one of the suggestions that was made was to reduce the number of hours down from 5 to 4. Current statute requires you to take a test, but the statute doesn't say you have to pass the test. It just says you have to take one. So we added some specificity and said that for every hour that you take a class, you have to pass a test, that the test has to be at least 10 questions, and that you need to get at least 70%. Some of those things you'd think would just be kind of normal and easy, but again, there were dealers who were very creative on how they did this, and so circumstances where somebody said, well, I took the test, and the provider would say, well, you didn't pass it. He'd say, well, it doesn't matter. I took the test, so you have to give me my certification. So we're just trying to clean up some of the issues. We'll tell you candidly, there are some dealers that don't want to have continuing education at all, and we sort of understand and respect that, but we do believe, as both of the associations that represent independent auto dealers believe very strongly in the value of continuing education. One of the things that we're going to continue to work on through the interims is ways to make the process more robust in terms of ensuring that they're getting the right kind of continuing education, and that we're solving problems that we're seeing as the industry advances. I commend to you the Dash A4 amendments that make some changes that we needed to. The bill that you have before you requires the Oregon Dealer Advisory Committee to approve both the education program and the tests that will be administered. We want to walk back a little bit on that because we don't want to have somebody approve a test and they can't make any changes for that test for 2 years when there could be a legislative session that changes the law or there could be court cases that change the law. We want to give our education providers the flexibility that once an education program is created, that they will be able to make adjustments to the test based on what's happening in the marketplace and in the legislative process. And so I don't want to take more time than necessary. I do encourage you to adopt the A4 amendments. The bill is supported by the Northwest Auto Trades Association, the Oregon Independent Auto Dealers Association, the Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association, and the Oregon Tow Truck Association. And all those people have met multiple times crafting both the original bill and the amendments that come to you today. And thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. So as you were talking, I may have missed it in trying to navigate a little bit here. Did you already describe the difference between the A3s and the A4s?
The difference between the A3s and the A4s, I recall, and again, I apologize, I wasn't prepared to testify today because I thought we'd had the hearing. I believe it's just a small change on the last page of the last section of the bill. One of the things that we wanted to be careful, there are only four education providers in the state right now. There's not a huge group of them. One of the other changes that we made is the current law says that once an education provider is approved, they can't not approve them. It's a lifetime appointment. There is no process saying that approval lasts for a certain period of time. So those four people are lifetime appointments. So the bill says that an education provider now is a two-year cycle and they have to renew every 2 years. And the existing providers are going to have 2 years from the operative date of the bill before they renew. So they'll go all the way to December 31st, 2015, I think it is, or 24, whatever the date is, gives them that 2 years. The way the dash A3s were written is those four providers could not apply for renewal until on or after that December 31st. What that would do to DMV business regulation is all four of those providers would then have to apply at the exact same time because they would all expire at the exact same time. So if you look at the A4s says that their approval lasts until December 31st, but it doesn't prevent them from renewing sooner than that. And so what we're going to be doing is working with those four providers and trying to get them to sort of stair-step their renewal process and try to get somebody to go a little bit early so that DMV is not dealing with all four of them at the same time. And the associations that and the folks that are providing the continuing education seem willing to sort of work that out so that they're not forcing DMV to do all of the renewals at the exact same time. So it's just a technical change in that last portion.
Thank you very much. Questions? Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Darrell. Is there, I'm just thinking of the industry, and you've got franchise dealers that obviously sell for very large corporations. Is there any chance that some of those organizations have their own testing within that would be approved or used for those types of
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, franchise new car dealers are exempted from the continuing education requirements because of all of the education they already get through their franchise network, and the requirements of them to keep and maintain a franchise were substantial enough that when the original bill was drafted, that anybody that has a franchise with a nationally recognized manufacturer does not have to do the continuing education. They are required to do the pre-licensing education if a new one comes to town, because we do want them to be aware of Oregon laws and sort of get their feet wet, but they don't have to do the continuing education portion.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other questions? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple technical questions about how this works. Who actually does the testing? So a licensee who presumably owns the dealership, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, it is, whoever the certified the dealer is on the certificate or the license with the state has to do the education. That is an issue of considerable discussion among sort of the dealer body, and we weren't able to sort of congeal around a change to that. But one of the concerns that we have going forward is with a small dealership where it's, you know, a husband and wife and maybe two or three employees, it makes a lot of sense for that owner to do the continuing education. In the case of your larger independent dealers, sometimes it's an out-of-state owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we end up doing is trying to make sure a general manager or somebody else is on the dealer certificate that's local. Some of the education education is specific to the title and registration process, the paperwork and getting all that done. Well, it's very rarely the owner in a large dealership that does that work on a day-to-day basis. One of the things that we've talked about is having a specific portion just for the person that does the title and registration and certifying that person, because what they do is collect a lot of tax money for the state of Oregon, and the paperwork is very, very specific. We have not, as an industry, sort of decided that we've talked about licensing salespeople. We've talked about lots of other things in terms of parting out the education to the right people. But we haven't sort of figured out all of the tentacles to that process yet, and it's an ongoing discussion. So for now, it is somebody who is on the certificate, the dealer certificate, that does the continuing education.
And regarding the reduction from 5 to 4, I mean, us attorneys are used to 15 hours a year. Other licensees are used to quite a bit. What's the policy rationale in going from 5 to 4, other than just reduce the burden on us?
Mr. Chair, Representative Davis, it was mostly reduce the burden.
Okay.
You know, there are a lot of dealerships, especially in this economy, that are just hanging on to survive. The idea of putting in the hours, although it's only 4 hours a year, what you typically find when somebody is getting close to their renewal time, they have to figure out how to get all 15 of their hours, because they're like everybody else. They wait until they're not required to do a certain number of hours per year. It's all collected at the end. So most dealers, when they get their notice that they need to renew their dealer's license, a lot of those people are trying to figure out how to get 15 hours. In this case, they're going to be trying to figure out how to get 12 hours. Again, as ODAC sort of grappled with this issue, there were a lot of people that didn't want to have continuing education at all. So in a spirit of cooperation, we reduced the number of hours to 5 to 4, and then started this process of making sure that those 4 hours actually meant something.
Mm-hmm.
The big debate that we're going through as an industry is what is more important? Is it more important to have a number of hours in a seat, or is it more important to actually learn something?
Right.
And we're moving towards a sort of a paradigm that suggests it's more important that they actually learn something, that they spend a certain number of hours in a seat. One of the things that I've advocated that if there's a test, if they can pass the test with no continuing education, then let them pass the test and then to move on. But if they don't pass the test and they need to get continuing education, then let them go find that continuing education. The notion that they have to be seated for a certain number of hours to get credit, even though they may not be learning anything, is sort of futile. So we're just, like I said, that's one of the other issues we're dealing with, is the idea of hours versus actual education.
It's good to know, Representative Davis, we'll be seeing a bill from you to up that requirement to match the that of the attorneys, yeah?
It creates jobs for the education industry. Speaking of education,
no.
So who actually approves the tests? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that in this. Or who approves the education?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dave, there's a statutory committee called the Oregon Dealer Advisory Committee. It's staffed by the DMV Business Regulations Office. And the statute puts the requirement on ODAC, the Oregon Dealer Advisory Committee, to approve or not approve education programs. And I think that's the word that's used in the statute, is the education program. So this will allow ODAC, through its rules, to sort of establish what kind of information they want to receive. I believe three of the four of the education providers actually do both live and online classes, while one of the providers is online only, and they're an out-of-state provider.
Mm-hmm.
So the requirements from those people would be different depending on the kind of education that they're providing.
Mm-hmm.
And we would want to have some information on the kind of tests they're going to administer and sort of how that process works. But we don't want to be so specific as to approve each question
mm-hmm.
that they necessarily would ask because of the reasons that I gave previously. And so then DMV or the ODAC at some point would get a chance to review the material that's submitted, and then they would approve or not approve. And that approval would last for 2 years before they'd have to renew.
Okay. Thank you.
Questions? I don't see any. I notice that the department is in the room. I'd love to just get a head nod that you're all okay with the A4 amendments and ready to go. They're nodding. I think we're good. No one else who's indicated an interest in testifying. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on Senate Bill 613? Seeing none, we close the public hearing.
Chair, members of the committee, since this may be your last meeting, I appreciate the time that we've spent together. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thank you. He says that before we open the work session, doesn't
yeah.
he? Open the work session on Senate Bill 613. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A4 amendments, or the -4 amendments to Senate Bill 613.
Thank you. Representative Cameron has moved the dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 613, dated May 22nd. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted. Representative Cameron?
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 613A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Cameron has moved Senate Bill 613A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Senate Bill 613A as amended goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Gorsuch, would you be willing to carry?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Representative Gorsuch will carry. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 613 and proceed down the agenda, opening a work session on Senate Bill 288. Troy, could you remind us, please? Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 288 eliminates requirement that person with limited vision condition take driver test every 2 years.
Thank you. And we've heard this one before. I think we are, there are no amendments, correct?
Correct.
Ready to roll?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Representative Benz?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 288 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved Senate Bill 288 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Senate Bill 288 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Doherty, you okay to carry?
Be delighted to.
Very good. Representative Doherty will carry. Thank you. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 288. Open a work session on Senate Bill 345. Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 345 exempts pedestrians on certain narrow residential roadways from offense of pedestrian with improper position upon or improperly proceeding along a highway, declares emergency effective upon passage.
Thank you. And you remember we had a fairly detailed discussion about this one, the standards and the various conditions of roadways around the state. No amendments here either.
Correct.
Very mm-hmm. good. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 345 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved Senate Bill 345 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senate Bill 345 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Doherty?
Up to.
Thank you. Representative Doherty will carry and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 345. Open work session on Senate Bill 408. Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 408A specifies that existing approach roads are presumed to have written permission from the Oregon Department of Transportation in certain circumstances.
Very good. I'm reminding myself of this bill on the staff measure summary, noting that passed the Senate unanimously. Again, no amendments.
Correct. No amendments.
There you go. Representative Benz.
Sure. I move Senate Bill 408A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved Senate Bill 408A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Senate Bill 408 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative McEwen?
Happy to.
Thank you. Representative McEwen will carry. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 408 and open work session on Senate Bill 487.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 487 expands offense of violation of slow-moving vehicle emblem requirements to include display of slow-moving emblem on highway for purpose other than what is required under law.
Very good. I remember this discussion about with the Farm Bureau being here, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other discussion?
No.
I got this right.
Representative Davis is volunteering, I think. Representative Benz?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 487 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved Senate Bill 487 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
I'll just share a note that I just feel like I'm changing the world today.
Yeah.
Bill.
You are volunteering. Yeah. Thank you. Is there any objection to the bill? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senate Bill 487 goes before the due pass recommendation. Representative Davis, could you go
in? I would be more than pleased.
Terrific. Thank you. Representative Davis will carry. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 487. Finally, we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 534.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 534 permits non-attorneys to represent individuals at proceedings before Department of Transportation when proceedings involve registration of commercial vehicles.
I'm thinking Representative Davis and Representative Benz are probably not eligible to carry this one, given their profession, right?
No,
we don't have the amendments here. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 534 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved Senate Bill 534 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senate Bill 534 goes to the floor with the due pass recommendation. And Representative Cameron, given your facility for such things, would you be willing to carry?
With one condition, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
That all the bills that are being carried in front of me move very quickly.
I think we've set a precedent with our working committee today. We'll continue that through the floor. Very good. Representative Cameron will carry. We'll close the work session at 534. And we are going to see what we can do about Friday afternoon. We have how many bills?
Three.
We have three bills. It may be very quick. We'll see if we can move those to Monday so that we don't have to stay on Friday afternoon. We're not sure if we're going to be able to do that. If we do have to stay, we'll move expeditiously through those three at our last opportunity. So that would be it. Anything else before the committee today? Representative Davis?
I've said my piece.
Okay. That's it. We're adjourned. We'll see you perhaps on Friday.
Thank you.
One sentence.
That was very smooth.